on YahvaYahweh.name. This is Stefan Yah. The subject today is minor doctrine. Seemeth to thee a small thing, this minor doctrine. And we'll be talking about the covenant of Yahweh today. We're going to be going to Jeremiah 31 and throughout the scriptures today, Old and New Testament alike, and how we love Yahweh's word, how we love to have you join us today. Jeremiah 31:31, and a parallel to that, almost word for word, is found in Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. 8:10 and 10:16. So back to Jeremiah. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my Torah in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. That was Jeremiah 31:31, and how we respect the sovereignty of Yahweh's covenant of his commandments, statutes, and judgments that are called the terms of the covenant, the forgiveness of all who trust in Yahweh, who trust in Yahweh's Son, Yahusha, and upon the wonderful Messiah who died for our sins at Calvary. He shed his blood on the tree at Calvary, and how that is the blood of the covenant when we take the elements, the bread and the wine, at Passover each year as commanded. Now, Leviticus chapter 23, and Vayikra is the proper name in Hebrew, not Leviticus, and it's translated, Vayikra means, and he called. Chapter 23. Vayikra 23:1, and Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be pure convocations, even these are my feasts. And then there's the list of the 8 annual feasts to be kept in Yahweh, including the seventh-day Sabbath. And as we lay our lives down for the Almighty Yahweh, for our Father, as we should, as the bride, and he is our husband, or more precisely, his son is the husband, the husbandman, we willingly obey his feast days, and that is what some call their vacation time. So we take away that old-fashioned worldly vacation we have of going to Vegas every year, as you well know, and we keep the feast days, hopefully not in Las Vegas, but in some beautiful little town, mountain town, or out at the end of the bus line or the railroad tracks, or up in the park, or up at the camp would be a place we want to keep these feasts. And we want to spend some more time with him. The Feast of Tabernacles, where we are actually remembering Yahweh's birthday, the nativity of the Savior back in Luke chapters 1 and 2, and Zechariah 14, keeping the feast of Yahweh is paramount. We must keep his feast because we love him, because we keep his commandments and they're not grievous. John chapter 5. Next, let's go to this precious passage of the word of Yahweh in Zechariah chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? So there we are with our theme of seemeth to thee a small thing. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of Yahweh which run to and fro through the whole earth. And as we, in our own carnal ways, or in our former ways, with our former religions, we might esteem certain tenets of Yahweh's Torah as being minimal or irrelevant. We'll say, well, I think that's the least of the commandments, especially when we speak of the Sabbath. But seemeth thee a small thing to even break the least of his commandments? If that were, which it isn't, one of the two greatest sins of Israel, we'll get to that pretty soon here. What was one of the two greatest sins? Exodus or Shemot, Exodus or in the book of Shemot, meaning names, chapter 18. The hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. So chapter 18, verse 26b there. The hard cases were brought to Moses, and the small matters there, if that makes any difference here in the theme of small matters. So what is your viewpoint? I would like to ask you, well, I would like to have you ask yourself, what is your viewpoint of the Old Testament, the so-called Old Testament or Old Covenant? How much authority and weight does Yahweh's word have on you? 2 Timothy 3:15, as you probably know, if you were raised in the Protestant church, that they quote this, but this is what the beloved Shaul or Paul wrote, and he believed, he read, and he did what Yahweh's word said, and all they had at the time was the so-called Old Testament. And here's what he says about it. And that from a child thou hast known the pure scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Messiah, Yahushua. All scripture is inspired, is given by inspiration of Elohim. All scripture is given by inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now let me repeat that. All scripture is given by inspiration of Elohim, or Yahweh, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We also learn in Matthew chapter 5, I think it's the last verse there, verse 46, Messiah told us, be or become perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then regarding the another small thing that people might esteem to be a small thing, the law, the very last word in that so-called Old Testament is remember the law of Moses. Now that's found in Malachi chapter 4 in the Protestant order of numbering, and I'm not belittling that at all. I like the order. Malachi chapter 4:4, remember the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. The statutes are the extensions of the Ten Commandments, and the judgments are similar to statutes, and they include the feast days. So judgments, one rendition in the Strong's Concordance is right rulings or privileges. Statutes is more the extensions of Yahweh's Ten Commandments, or right rulings. So remember the law of Moses my servant, and you know, you turn the page and you get to Matthew chapter 1, and it's as if we're supposed to forget the law of Moses when we turn the page. Remember the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Eliah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh or Yahuwah. So that was in the book of Malachi. And when Yahweh comes back, when Yahweh's son, more accurately, comes back to make up his jewels, will he find us in walking in his righteousness, in the spirit-wrought righteousness? Is he able to perform what he has promised to work in us, those good works? For we are not saved by works. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10 says, for by unmerited favor are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. For, And there's where usually you don't hear that next verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah, created unto good works. Not just the works of feeling good about ourselves or helping other people, helping the elderly person across the street before the stoplight changes. That's good. That's all good. But good works, that phrase is exactly keeping Yahweh's statutes, commandments, and judgments. How about the least of commandments? Where is that found? It's Matityahu chapter 5, verse 18, where Yahweh says, or Yahusha says, that we call the Messiah Yahusha here, and for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and you know, we would stop and try to ask the question, what is the least commandment? I think that all the commandments are important, and Yahweh came to magnify the law and make it honorable, and that we're to live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. So here a little, there a little. So I really don't know if there is a diminished commandment or not. But anyway, if there were, anyone who breaks the least commandments and shall teach men, so shall he should be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Somebody said, well, at least I'll be there. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach all those commandments, the Torahs, and someday that you're going to have to do that, to teach others Yahweh's laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, his decrees, his precepts, because they were not properly taught, or probably not even taught at all, if you're living in the year 2000s, as I am presently. Now, what are the two greatest sins, as I asked about 10 minutes ago? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20. And throughout this chapter of the 20th chapter of Ezekiel, we'll find many of the failures and the transgressions or the iniquities of Israel. So here it is. I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, or privileges, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. I gave them my statutes. I gave them, gave who? Gave to Israel. Who is Israel? Those who are grafted in to the good olive tree, say Romans 11, and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Next verse. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths. So here's the crux. Here is the crossing point. I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, and that they might know, and that I am Yahweh that set them apart or sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. And somebody would ask, parenthetically, somebody would ask, well, or make the statement or assertion that, well, we are not Israel, we're not Jewish, we're Espanol, or we're Francois, or Romanos, we're Greek, we're not, you know, okay, yeah, you might be Greek, then you're actually a Gentile, but there is nowhere to be found in the scriptures a covenant for the Greeks or the Gentiles, unless they consider themselves to be under the one and same covenant of that Yehudite, of the only Yehudite who walked on this earth as the son of Yahweh, and that is Yahusha Messiah himself. So, once again, picking it up there in Ezekiel 20:13, the house of Israel rebelled in the wilderness. They didn't walk in his statutes. They didn't esteem his judgments. What do? They despise my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They'll make that halakha. They'll walk in righteousness with Yahweh. Not to be saved, not to become saved, not to maintain their salvation, no. But as an obedient thing, as a housewife would do for her husband, willingly, and as we would do for our husband, Yahusha Messiah. We'll live in them, and my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. So even though in our natural mind, I should use that expression more, natural mind, not carnal, but in our natural mind, we probably think, well, is the Sabbath such a big thing? You know, it's such a small thing in relation to, say, murdering and committing adultery and robbing a bank or something like that. But no, he says this is one of the greatest sins. The other was idolatry, by the way, which I am not going to address today. Okay, now the next verse here. Enough for those detours. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the esteem of all lands, because they despise my judgments and walk not in my statutes. Judgments, once again, are privileges or feast days. But they polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. You know, if you read Isaiah 1, he says, I hate your feast days. And then in the end, in Isaiah 66, at the end of that great book of Isaiah, or Yeshayahu, he says, to keep the feast days, keep the new moons and the Sabbaths, in Isaiah 66. But in those days, and in these days, they are no different. We have polluted the Sabbath day and made it into Sunday. We say that, well, the excuse is this and that, or the Savior arose. He rose at the end of the 17th, that's correct, but Aviv 18th on some years, well, that's when most people are keeping the first day of the week for their Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, on Aviv 18 instead of Aviv 17th. It was the seventh day Sabbath of that particular cycle that year. Well, if I have confused you, I've gone way out there again. Ezekiel 20:17. Nevertheless, my eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto the children of the wilderness, walk you not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Keep my privileges and do them, and set apart my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So that is the sign that you know Yahweh, if you keep the Sabbath. Of course, if that's the only thing you do, if you just go to church once a week on Saturday from, let's say from 11 to 12:30, have you fulfilled your duty? No, you haven't. You haven't fulfilled you've only done part of it. How about, addressing sin, righteousness, and judgment? Letting thy eye be single. And walking in love. And, praying every day and not holding grudges. And then the book of Numbers. And Numbers or Bamidbar. What did that mean again? I have to look up at the top there at the website. Numbers or Bamidbar means in the wilderness. Numbers 16:13. It is a small thing. Oh no, wait a minute. That's a question. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? And that was Numbers 16:13. And then in Devarim, or Deuteronomy chapter 4, and Devarim means, and this is the blessing. Let's go down here to Devarim now, going away from Numbers and turning right to Deuteronomy, Devarim chapter 4, and this is the blessing. But Yahweh, in verse 20, Yahweh has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace. Now we're not even in an iron furnace. Out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. So it's not the small thing at all that he has saved us and delivered us from sin or Egypt. Not meaning that the country of Egypt is sin, but it's symbolic of sin. It doesn't mean everybody in there, was a sin. Well, I guess they were sinners until they were saved, if they indeed became saved in Messiah, and they repented of their sins and trusted in the Savior. Isaiah is going to be next. And in Hebrew, that's Yeshayahu, And I spell Isaiah with a Y-A-H, not supplanting Yahweh's basic root name there, Isaiah, not spelled I-A-H, but Y-A-H. That's the way I prefer to do it. It doesn't mean that that's the correct way or anything, but, well, if you look it up in the concordance in the Hebrew, I think it'll come out. I think that is correct. In fact, I believe it is. We need to look these things up for ourselves. So, Isaiah 7:10. Moreover, Yahweh spake unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of Yahweh thy Elohim. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. Does he ever have the gall? Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt Yahweh. Huh, really? Or neither will I test Yahweh. It's probably what that reads in the Tree of Life there in Isaiah 7:12. Ahaz said, I won't ask, neither will I test Yahweh. And he said, hear you now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my Elohim also? Therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, not just a maiden, but a literal virgin, as we know that, and a woman who's not laid with man. Behold, at that time and through right up into the birth, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Immanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Oh, there's a health tip for you. And then in Isaiah 59, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. This messianic prophecy here. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. In Isaiah 59, therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. His arm, his powerful arm, his word. Yahweh is the word. Yahusha, I should say, Messiah, is the word. He is the living Elohim, the living word. And he brought salvation, and his righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. You know, where the Israelites are scattered, to the nations. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his esteem from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh, my Spirit that is upon thee, and in my words, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. That was the end of the Isaiah 59:21 there, of that rendition we just deliciously devoured here on the program about small things. Now 61 is the next chapter to turn to. And verse 8, and we can see the Tree of Life version there. I think we have Sister Eber is going to hand this to me here, and so I think I'll pick it up at probably before that, at verse 6. But you shall be named the priests of Yahweh, it says in the King James. Men also shall call the ministers of our Elohim. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, in the King James. So let's see what it says here in the Tree of Life, verse 6. But you will be called the Kohanim of, and they use Adonai, we're going to change that back to the priests of Yahweh, or Kohanim of Yahweh. Okay, back to a Tree of Life again. But you'll be called the Kohanim of Yahweh. They will speak of you as the ministers of our Elohim. No, not the G-O-D word. Gut, Gott, none of those. You will eat the wealth of nations and boast in their abundance. So, yes, they did change back to what it was supposed to be, to nations. They changed that the word Gentiles correctly back into nations, interpreting that from the Hebrew scrolls. Verse 7, instead of your shame, a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will sing for joy. Therefore, in their land, they will inherit a double portion. They will have everlasting joy. For I, Yahweh, love justice, or right ruling. I hate robbery and the burnt offering. In faithfulness, I will reward my people and cut an eternal covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations, their descendants among the peoples. All who see them will recognize them, for they are the seed that Yahweh has blessed. I will rejoice greatly in Yahweh. My soul will be joyful in my Elohim, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. This is the Messiah speaking. He has wrapped me in the robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom wearing a priestly turban, like a bride adorning herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as the garden causes things sown to spring up, Yahweh Elohim will cause justice and praise to spring up before all the nations. That was a reading from the Tree of Life version. And some of you are probably wondering, how do I get that copy? Even though it has Adonai in it, which of course is in some Hebrew, but we avoid the word when possible. And in fact, it wasn't correctly translated. It was YHVH, Yod-Heh Vav-Heh, and not Adonai. So sometimes they want to change the name of Yahweh to try to protect it, but Yahweh said to even proclaim it to the heathen. So if we're going to proclaim it to the heathen, they might, they might do whatever with it. But enough of that rabbit trail anyway. So I'll just hand this book back to my wife. And shall we continue? Yes. So we read all of 61 there at the end, and then we'll go to Ezekiel next of 36:26. And Yekezekel, thank you for joining us today. And we're approximately 28 minutes into the podcast on Yahweh Yahweh. And by the way, if you want the copy of these notes, they're free. And whether you're a student or a pastor or cardinal, whatever you consider yourself, you can look at the pastor's notes here on the website. So we're going to Ezekiel 36:26 about that that covenant that applies to all Israel. I mean all 12 tribes and the house of Judah. It applies to everyone all the way around the world, even Grecians. Yes, even Cretans will be under this same covenant. And not, as we hear from the protesting evangelical, we won't be under the law because we're not going to break it. Ezekiel 36:26 or 24, I'll take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all of the countries. Or I will take you from among the islands, perhaps, and gather you out of the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then I'll sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's the verse we don't hear. The preacher there standing. And I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Well, praise Yahweh for those who did continue from the pulpit with that verse 27 there. Ezekiel 36:27. He's going to put his spirit within us, but we don't erase the rest of that sentence there. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. And the statutes, we find the feast days, and we find the laws that pertain to life and to love, loving our neighbor, loving our Heavenly Father by doing these different things, as you probably know. Ezekiel 37, 24, chapter 37. David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell, or tabernacle, in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell, or tabernacle therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. And moreover, I will make thee a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my set-apart place in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yes, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Yes, and we're looking for the Ark of the Covenant, by the way. And those are precious projects that are going on in the land to discover where the Ark of the Covenant is. My tabernacle also shall be with them. And the Gentiles, or heathen, or nations, shall know that I, Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, when my set-apart place, or Hebrew Mikdash, shall be in the midst of them forevermore. The heathen shall know that I, Yahweh, set Israel apart. Yes, with all the anti-Semitism, with all the anti-Israel flap going on out there with the liberal talk show hosts, we certainly do need to ignore that and have unbelief as we listen to these false prophets on the radio and television and news media and everywhere. And, you know, coming out of the countries against Israel, because they are going to be punished someday. They are there as Yahweh's servants or tools to afflict Israel and to try to shake them up. But we better not be a part of that monkey business. Ezekiel 16 now. Let's go back to the 16th chapter and verse 19. Find out what Yahweh is going to give us. My meat also will I give thee. You know, you've got to read the entire chapter. There's not time to read all the scripture from cover to cover. Verse 19, my meat I'll give them, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee. Thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith Yahweh, Elohim, moreover thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter? That's Ezekiel 16:20. Yes, now you could think of this in any particular way as I make a statement here, but whether it be abortion, or whether you're sending your children out there into the world. And I heard a Christian woman the other day tell me that we need to send our children into the world, into the public schools, to be exposed, you know, to the world, because we're going to get a lot of persecution out there, and so why not just throw them out there, and let them throw them to the dogs and let them fight for themselves. Don't equip them or anything with any skills. My parents didn't. I had to learn how to fight on my own before I knew Yahweh. So we sacrifice our children to be devoured. Is this of any significance? Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause thee to pass through the fire for them, like 13 million? And in all thine abominations, and thy, 18 million in the year 2018, in all thy abominations, thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare, and wast polluted in thy blood. So yes, I believe I've heard the figure was 18 million in America that have been sacrificed unto Molech. Then chapter 34, even politically, we need to take a stand politically So any way we can, I stand with Yahweh and his people. And I'm not advocating a republicanism necessarily. Ezekiel 34:17. And as for you, my flock, O my flock, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. Now, that was Ezekiel. So, what about Yahweh's covenant? Remembering that covenant of Yahweh, let's go to see what Peter said here in the book of Acts. In Acts 3, the Hebrew word is Kepha, or Peter, Petros. So Kepha, K-E-P-H-A, said, "You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our fathers." So he's speaking to the entire congregation here at this council in Acts 3, right after they're filled with the Ruach HaKadosh at Shavuot, or First Fruits, or Pentecost. Kepha said, "You're the children of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." You know who they are? They are the children of our fathers. No, we are those children now. We are the very children that Brother Peter is speaking of here. We're the children of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh made. It's one and the same people, and one and the same covenant. And they say, "Well, how could I ever recognize that I am a part of Israel? I'm not Jewish. I'm, you know, this or that, or I'm from Alaska or something." And how could you know? But Romans 11 says, in very symbolic language, but I think it's clear enough, that we need to be grafted into the good olive tree. So I'm not going to focus into that, but Romans 11:27, "There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away unyahwe likeness or ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall do what? When I shall take away their sins." But that's only a part of it. Yes, this is the covenant. He's going to take away our sins. This Messiah is sent to you. And most of the people groups on this planet can all come under that one lovely, loving umbrella of we are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. We are the children of, if you want to go back farther than that, to Noah's time, we are the children of Shem. Most of us are children of Shem. I know that my lineage would go back to that, even the last name as Heber. One of the grandchildren or children there of Noah. And only the Messiah can forgive our sin. We can't do anything to, you know, try to do some sort of a good favor, give a little gift to somebody, a token, you know, maybe it costs $50 or $100 or a couple of bucks or something. But no, that's not going to forgive us of our sins. Our sins are way, way too gross, too deep, too abominable, and too dirty in the eyes of a perfect Heavenly Father. And if you don't know that, then you don't know the what the Presbyterians, I think, let me see if the word will come to me now, the depravity of man. Well, somebody will object. Now, you can't be talking like that. That's Calvinistic. But we are depraved men until we come to the Messiah. I can't argue. Hebrews chapter 8. Back to the covenant again in Hebrews 8. "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by much," the Messiah, in other words, "by how much also he is the mediator." So who is the mediator of the new covenant? Messiah is. He is the mediator of a better covenant. This renewed covenant is spoken of in four verses later. "This is the covenant, the Benai covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their mind." Oh, no, brother. Sister would object, or Brother Roe would object. Oh, no, it's another, not a matter of legalism, of ritualistic Jewish laws that are impossible to keep, we're told on the Christian radio broadcast. But, well, I can't argue. I can argue with them, but I could argue, I don't want to argue. And I will not contend with Yahweh. This is his word. I'll put my Torah, or laws, into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a mighty one, and they shall be to me my people. Also in Hebrews chapter 10, it's just a mirror of what we read there, and also 13:20. Now I need to flip over there in my good old handy King James Version, but let's see, Hebrews 10, and also 12:24, Hebrews 12:24. So I guess we're going to, you know, we would have to sit here all night and, you know, all day. We'd have to sit here a couple of hours and read all of Hebrews, but we're not going to make a program that long, because then you can't download it. It's too long. But Hebrews 10:16 is the New Covenant, and 12:24. Let me see here. I didn't quote it. I've never done this before. 12:24. And so I need to quote 12:24 for you. It's to the General Assembly, the Church of the Firstborn, which we learned is Israel, which are written in heaven, and to Yahweh the Judge of all. It's written in heaven, they're not up there, but it's written to them. And to Yahweh the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Messiah, the Mediator of the New Covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel, back in the book of Bereshit or Genesis. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more, and speaking of Messiah there, or, no, speaking of Moses, who represented Messiah, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. So we don't want to refuse him, and we don't want to get into disobedience. Which, you know, I've done many times, regretfully. And then chapter 13, verse 20. Now, the Elohim of peace, verse 20, the Elohim of peace that brought again from the dead out of the Master Yehoshua, Messiah, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. See, blood isn't the covenant, it's the blood of the covenant, it's a portion of it. Through the blood of the covenant, may he make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through the Messiah, to whom be esteem forever and ever. Hallel. That was the last of the book of Hebrews, written to the Hebrews from Italy by Timothy. Actually, the last verse is verse 25, grace with be you all. Hallel. And then let's see. And then Romans 1:31, by the way, is without natural affection, covenant breakers. But while still in Hebrews, I've got to do this because I heard in Janet Paschal on Moody Radio, there's some very good things on in the market with Janet. But she had a guest on there the other day in the last part of 2017 that talked about the rest in Yahweh. And the rest day here, mentioned in Hebrews 4, the word day, they translated as person. And if you were to transpose that into everywhere in the scripture where it said day, and transpose it to the word person, it wouldn't make any sense at all. And I don't think we have the right, or the, you know, it's not correct, whatever the word is, to change words. Instead of a day of the week, it's to a person. Now, am I criticizing somebody? Well, I'm criticizing what they did. I'm not judging them. They can judge themselves if they want, or stand before a Messiah. But that's wrong to twist words and to deceive others and then take over on a radio station and not let people have their voice, who might be able to inject something sensible and logical and scriptural into, but no, they wouldn't let him talk, and they cut the guy off and said they So he cut the caller off and said that, well, we're not going to argue about the Sabbath. Well, he wasn't arguing, he wanted to discuss it. So written in 64 A.D., it still says here, and I'll just be brief now as we read the end of this here so we can move back to the study on the covenant, but this is part of it. As you know, one of the two greatest sins of Israel was covenant breaking the Sabbath. The other was idolatry. And I didn't bring that scripture out, but one of these days we'll look it up again. Chapter 4:4, he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day, or rather of the seventh day, on this wise. So that's very specific there. You can't change that seventh day into the of a person, of the Jesus or something. The seventh day on this wise, and Yahweh did rest the seventh day from all his works. Or you can read it this way, and Yahweh did rest the person day from all his works. No, of course not. It makes no sense. And in this place, if they shall enter into my rest. Now there's a key word there. The word rest, we could go on. And then someone said, well, I'm not going to go on and study this for hours. Who cares about all that? Such a small thing. You know, why worry about minor doctrine? And this is the attitude. This, I don't apologize, but I hear this everywhere in the evangelical or evangelifish church around in northern or western America. You don't hear it where you are, maybe. Praise Yahweh for that. So, okay, that's got that off my chest. And it's my website, or our website, that we've put our money and time into. So we can say anything. But we want to say the truth. We don't want to say what we think is right and our own opinions. We don't want our opinions. We want our opinions based on the scriptures. So verse 6, and somebody said, Hallelujah out there. So bless you. Seeing therefore that it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. There's another key word. See Deuteronomy 29:20. Again, he limits a certain day. Or he limits is really, it's not specific, is it? He specifies, he details. He calls to attention a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it said, today if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Today, after so long a time, if you will hear his voice. Do we hear Yahweh's voice today? Or are we just going to say, well, I just have a Jesus is my, the personhood of Jesus. What is a personhood? You know, what is his character? What is Messiah's character? Yahusha's character really like? Or can it be defined at all? Maybe, like some say, who believe in the Kabbalah, that we can't define who the Creator is, perhaps. Sorry, Bill Houston, I think I'm going to steal your thunder here and won't have time. Harden not your hearts, for if Messiah or Yeshua ben Nun had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There therefore remaineth a rest to the people of Yahweh. And that we know that Messiah rose on the 17th of Aviv. How do we know that? Because he died on Passover, the end of Passover, when it was growing dusk of Aviv 14. So 3 nights and 3 days later, from 14, if you're into math, 14 plus 3... I'll give you a moment here to think. Yeah, it's the 17th, so it's the end of the 17th. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Yahusha, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Ephesians 2:12, this is right after he tells us how we are saved by unmerited favor. Aliens from the commonwealth. So you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without the mighty one in the world. Literally, you were without Messiah. You were an alien from the covenants of promise, with emphasis. To complete the logic, now if you have the true Messiah, if you have the true Messiah, you are not strangers to the covenants of promise. You've been grafted in to him. Praise Yah for this and that. Praise Yah. The new covenant where he writes his laws into our heart and mind, and those laws are the two greatest commandments, to love Yahweh and to love another. Love your neighbor in the assembly and your family, and to keep his Torah, because his Torah is not grievous. The Torah is found mainly in Exodus through Deuteronomy, and therefore the keeping his covenant involves, among other things, involves obedience to his word. And I will tell you that keeping the Feast of Tabernacles is a blessing. It's such a refreshing time of year, and we celebrate the birth of Messiah during that time, 7 days, and then the last great day, symbolizing that thousand-year part of the thousand-year millennium. And so it's just a time of prepping or dress rehearsal for the real being in the throne room with Messiah. It's an exciting time for that reason, but also for fellowship. Colossians 2, should we judge others about not keeping the feast days? Should we judge those who are keeping them? Is that what that's about? Well, there's a big study, but just briefly, Colossians 2 says, to blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, so that's the certificate of indebtedness, because we had sinned. And it was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So the certificate of indebtedness that was against us has been abrogated. Yes, and the temple sacrifices, the Levitical system that was only for a time present, which were both offered gifts and sacrifices and carnal ordinances and washings and meats and drinks, that was imposed until the time of Reformation, until Messiah should come, Hebrews 9. But anyway, in Colossians 2, let no man therefore judge you. Now it does say that we can judge. Judge righteous judgment. Messiah said it in John. What was it? John 4. I've told this before. Now I've forgotten. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a pure day or feast day. Let no man judge you while you keep a feast day, in other words, or of the new moon or the Sabbath. And the word days was inserted, but let no man judge you of the seventh-day Sabbath or of any day that you keep in Messiah. They are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Messiah. But the body of Messiah what? Shall judge you. The verb judge should be there, not the inserted word is. But the body is of Messiah. And then they put the reality is Messiah. But the word reality is not even in the Greek or the original Hebrew. They are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Messiah is to judge you about these matters of eating and drinking at the feast days. Or on the website, I put the word pure day. I think I better change that over again, because nobody knows what I mean by the pure day, but it's a Kodesh day. Well, feast day. Kodesh day is a pure day or separated day. And then Luke 1, remembering his covenant. Let's go to 1, verse 72. As we remember the birth of Messiah at the Feast of Tabernacles in October, when Messiah was properly born there of a virgin. Luke 1:72. And his father Zechariah was filled with a pure spirit and prophesied and said, Blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Israel, for he, that is Yahweh, visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his pure prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. And we could use that right now. We could use that scripture in the land when all the nations are coming down against that little nation of Israel and trying to wipe out the Jews and teaching their children in the classrooms how to hate, how to have hate crimes against the Israelites of today and in America as well. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his pure covenant. Now, I thought the covenant, somebody told me, a Christian elder said that there wasn't a covenant right now, that we're between them. Well, perhaps somebody here, to perform the mercy and to remember his pure covenant, not forget it, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Now, we're not supposed to completely eradicate ourselves of fear, because good, proper fear, as we're told in the book of Proverbs and the book of the Revelation, is Yahweh-like. It's being like Yahweh. To serve him without fear in pureness, or holiness, it said there, and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And talking about Abraham, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, we look up Genesis in the Bereshit. Genesis in the beginning is what the Bereshit means there, chapter 15. And so far in the podcast, we are, time check, about 58 into it. And behold, the word of Yahweh came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy bowel shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in Yahweh, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Because of Abraham's faith, he counted it to him for righteousness, just like Hebrews 11 says. Here comes about the covenant. In the same day, Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Canaanites and Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims, I believe, and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. So we are reading the scripture there from Genesis 15. And then we talked about being grafted into the good olive tree, Romans 11:27. As we continue now in that, just one, that one verse. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Another word about the covenant would be in Daniel chapter 9. After it speaks about the Messiah, some have improperly attributed that to Satan, but it says in 9:25, now therefore, and understand that from the time going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the prince Messiah shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the set apart place, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, which was what they commonly call Wednesday, he shall cause the offering and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. He'll take that away. Even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured, upon the desolate. And we could read that in the book of Daniel there too. But while we're looking that up, and finishing up here, no time for Brother Bill. Are probably blessings in regards to those. I think he's probably gone to wait for the Messiah while resting, but Bill Houston can be found on this website, and most of the same station on YahvehYahweh.name under the Higher Ground heading. And that was they were a member of the Church of God, or God, but the reason that we put that on there is that nobody could preach like Brother Bill. Some claim to, but I've never really heard. He wasn't the greatest, no. But nobody could put the effective emphasis on some of the teaching as Bill Houston. So I hope you might have a chance to listen to that, even though he does use the common names. And in Psalm 119, or Mizmor 119, or Tehillim, the 119th Psalm about the law. And David was a small man, it says here. And this is under the heading of Zadi, the Hebrew letter Zadi, in Mizmor 119, verse 137, which says, "Righteousness art thou, O Yahweh." David is speaking here. "Righteous art thou, Yahweh." You know, even though we complain about everyday things and taxes and politicians and radio talk show hosts, yes, I need to forgive them, even though they'll never repent, but probably. But we need to remember this, to say that Yahweh is righteous and upright are thy judgments, or right rulings, or privileges. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. I am small, but he's not taking Yahweh's word lightly, like some. I hope they stop it. But David said he was small in stature, and, you know, he wasn't proud, like we're told we have to have. We have to have all that pride of this and that, be proud of ourselves and esteem ourselves higher than others. No, that's against, now, come on. They know better than that. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Yeah, I know we all have the that bad vice of thinking that we're really someone. But we are. In Yahweh, we are really somebody. Thanks to him, though, not to us. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. The Torah is the truth. And I love Psalm 19. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul, etc. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. No, I thought it was bondage. Well, I had to make that statement there, that we always hear the law is bondage, and that we can't do it. So he gave us a law that we can't keep, that he knew we couldn't keep in the first place, holds us accountable for us. He's going to punish us if we don't accept Jesus and send us to hell. No, that's not the Father. That's not dealing with men in a fair, equitable way, is it? If he gave us something he knew we couldn't do, and if they've never heard the true name of the Messiah in the first place, how could they be saved? Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. Are my
delights.
No, delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. So Psalm 119, or that was what that was. And then I'm going to read from the Tree of Life, and then we're done. And praise Yahweh that you've held in with me here this time, and hope you give us a shot on an email one of these days at StephanYah@YahvahYahweh.name. That's Stephan Yah, StephanYah. And so here we go, and I'm going to start around verse 25. So know and understand from the issuing of the decree, this is Daniel 9:25, to restore and build Jerusalem, or rebuild Jerusalem, until the time of Mashiach, the prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 72 weeks. In verse 26, after 72 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. Then the people of a prince who is to come will destroy the city and the set-apart place. But his end will come like a flood. Until the end of the war that is decreed, there will be destruction. Then he will then he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he'll put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of abominations will come one who destroys until the decreed annihilation. It poured out on the one who destroys. Interesting interpretation there. And Maranatha, may Yahweh bless us this day and every day, and as you keep Purim very soon for us right now, and Pesach, Passover, Shavuot, or Pentecost, and Yom Teruah, or Feast of Trumpets, in the late summer, and Yom Kippur, Feast of Atonement, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, and Shemini Atzeret, the last great day, and addressed in John chapter 7. Shalom, each and every one of you from New Jersey and Seattle, Washington, South Africa, India, and you know, and Jakarta, and just all over. I thank you very much for your participation in this effort in praising and worshiping Yahweh and getting closer to the truth, studying and helping our neighbor. Shalom.